Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Fumbled Love by Lila Rose. Narrated by Candice Mole and Rupert Channing. Chapter 1. Regan. The day was going to be a terrible one. I knew it the moment I woke up late, having slept through my alarm again. I really had to get one that sounded like a freight train going through my house, because when I slept, I did so deeply. To make matters worse, I raced from my room, skipped around the Pomeranian named Fozzie, and then slipped in still warm poop. Gagging and cursing him black and blue, I quickly used some paper towels to wipe it off my foot, and then I let him out the dog door, which was already built in the door when I bought the house. Thankfully, Fozzie was my parents' dog, and it was my last night minding the little fella. The clean-up took longer than I thought, which added extra time on my lateness. But I refused to leave my house stinking like dog doo-doo. It wasn't like I could go to work smelling like poop. I could already imagine the less-than-creative names my students would come up with. Finally managing to get out the door without another incident, it was then I realised I'd put on the panties I should have thrown away a dress size ago. Yes, those deadly small panties. It meant the whole walk to work they kept making friends with my butt crack. Mid-step, I glanced down and groaned. I'd also managed to pick out the worst outfit ever. A long red skirt, which had a tear in the middle, and a rainbow-coloured tee. Not only did I look homeless, but it was like a skittle had thrown up on me. Of course, as I ran through the halls of Radley High School, where I taught English, the principal stepped out of nowhere and I nearly collided with him. With just one look at me, Tom Galligan's eyes widened.
"What happened, Regan?"
"A rough morning. I hadn't even had the chance to inhale my much-needed three morning coffees." He cleared his throat, apparently not wanting to touch on the fact that a unicorn farted rainbows all over me. His lips twitched.
"Right. I need your help. It's school assembly in a few minutes and Chloe is out sick. You'll need to fill in on stage."
And the morning just got worse. Chloe was Tom's assistant. She regularly stood on the stage in assembly and, well, assisted with whatever she had to do. I didn't take much notice of what she actually did. I liked hiding in my corner with Brooke, my friend from college, who happened to get a job at the same school as me. We stood in the back and, to be honest, we bitched. Mainly about Eleanor, the witch I'd gone to high school with and who'd made my experience hell. She also, unfortunately, worked at the same school as us, as the family and consumer science teacher. I'd spent probably far too many hours considering other meanings for FACS, which seemed fitting for Eleanor. Though my favourite was facts about cock-up slags.
I can't.
Tom crossed his arms over his chest and rested them against his beer belly while he stared me down. We all liked Tom. He was a great guy to work for. Like a father figure, in a way. But there wasn't a chance I was getting up on that stage and pretending I wanted to be there. Tom tended to drone on and on and on. Once, Brooke had even elbowed me hard in the ribs because I dozed off standing up. I could take him on in the stare down. I really could. With my hands on my hips, I leaned in a bit and stared right back. Neither of us blinked, and my left eye started twitching seconds in. The man was a master at the stare down. Damn him. Sighing, I blinked a few times and said, "Fine." I started stalking off, ignoring his grin of triumph.
"You're going the wrong way," he called. I need to see if Brooke has a spare top, or I'll never live it down with the kids, I called over my shoulder. I loved my students, and they loved me, but they could also be little shits. One time, I'd somehow managed to go to class with my slippers on and a Twix chocolate bar stuck in my hair. I blamed the supernatural marathon I'd had the previous night. However, I'd heard their murmurs of how they'd thought I'd been dumped and was wallowing in depression. Then there was also the day I'd got caught after a quick visit to the restroom with my skirt in my panties. They'd thought I'd ducked out for a romp with the phys ed teacher. After I'd swallowed the bile in my mouth, because no one would want to romp with Stinky Steve, who I was sure didn't own deodorant, regardless of how many times Brooke and I chatted about how good deodorant was in front of him, I assured them it was an accident. I'd been rushing back so they wouldn't get into too much trouble. Or, more specifically, me, as I really should not be leaving the classroom unattended. But when I needed to pee, nothing was getting in my way. I managed to catch Brooke as she was leaving her office. She was the school counsellor. My dear friend took one look at me and started laughing. Oh, God, Ree, did you not look in the mirror this morning? I was running late. Do you have a shirt I could borrow? I have to take Chloe's place on stage. Yeah, sure. It's in the locker. She stepped away from the door and started down the hall. I'll see you on stage. Apparently I have to help with something too, she yelled back. Thank the high heavens I wouldn't be alone up there. Quickly, I stepped into her office and took out a black shirt, then cursed. Damn, Brooke was only a size smaller than my size 14, but I was larger in the chest area. My boobs looked like they wanted to burst free from the buttons. At least it was a bit better than my rainbow tee. I squished the girls down so I didn't look like a tramp and made my way into the gymnasium. Bustling along with the other teachers and students, I managed to make it on stage just as the final bell rang. Tom ushered us to the left near the opened curtain and placed a huge-ass trophy in my hands. It also covered my chest nicely, thank God. Then he placed a small banner into Brooke's hands before he shuffled off. Brooke and I looked at each other. She then read what was on the banner before I could. Oh, she whispered. Oh? Oh what? We forgot. Forgot what? I asked snappishly, because her concerned tone was freaking me out. That Carter Anthony was coming today? She winced at my face paling, and I knew it was because I suddenly felt sick. Carter Anthony. How could I have forgotten he was showing? Maybe because I'd put it at the back of my mind, in the very back of my mind. It'll be okay. You don't even have to talk to him. Nodding, I replied, there is that. And anyway, it's not like he'll remember me. I was a nobody back then. We didn't even talk. He'd just been my high school crush, the most popular football player, and I'd let my infatuation last for years. My love died once I heard him join in with his jock friends laughing at plus-size girls. It also happened to be just before he left town, accepting the big football scholarship with some college out of town. Apparently, he was still a star player, and 2 years ago, he got transferred to one of our city's NFL teams, whatever they were called. Only he still opted to live away from his home stadium, picking to travel the few hours' drive instead. Although, it could be possible he already had a place set up back where he was and didn't want to leave it. I'd also heard some talk he was thinking of moving back to settle down. While I knew next to nothing about the sport or even teams, I wasn't surprised by his success. He'd been a brilliant player even in high school.
The most recent news I'd overheard was that Carter was finishing up his final year playing and that he wanted to coach at a local college. Not that I stalked him. I didn't. It really was the gossip around town. Okay, so it was one night, 2 months ago when we found out he was going to do a talk at our school. Brooke and I were drunk and she'd Googled him. Shifting from one foot to another, since my tight panties had ridden up again, I took the steps needed to move to the spot Tom gestured us to with an annoyed look on his face. We were off to the side near the curtain. "Stupid tight panties," I grumbled under my breath. I hadn't had a chance to pull them out discreetly. I scanned the audience and spotted Eleanor standing on the floor by the stage at the opposite end to us. She appeared eager, and I knew why. Carter had been her high school sweetheart for 2 years before he'd moved away. Snorting, I took notice of her outfit, and I'd been worried about my top. Her breasts were close to popping out to say hello. "What are we snorting about?" Brooke asked discreetly. "Her." Brooke looked at Eleanor. "Oh, her," she snarled. Eleanor was the worst, one of the coldest people I'd ever met. It was as if she was stuck back in high school and still thought she shit roses. As Tom finally took to the microphone, I leaned into Brooke and said, "Her boobs are so perky, they're like a Disney princess's on crack." Brooke coughed through her laugh. "Actually, I bet she'd want to be Dora the Explorer right about now." She glanced at me, then back out to the audience of pubescent teens. "Why?" "She'd want to be the first to explore Carter's whole body with her tongue." She snorted. "Would she be the only one?" "Yes," I nodded. I rolled my eyes as Tom went on and on about the great Carter Anthony. I was sure Tom had a guy crush on him, like lots of males all around the country. Even some of the male staff were salivating for a peek at Carter. Except for Larry, one of the math teachers, who I wasn't sure had moved out of his mum's yet, despite being 37. "Why are you moving like that?" Brooke hissed at me. "Do you need to pee?" "No, I have a wedgie," I whispered. "What?" "My panties are riding up my butt. You need to pull it out." She swung her gaze my way and looked at me as if I'd lost my mind. "Come on," I pleaded. "I can't continue like this the whole time. It's so uncomfortable. My panties are up there making out with my butthole. This thing is too heavy to hold with just one hand while I fix the problem." "I am not. Remember the time you had me check your boob for a lump? I fondled it for a good while and only found a pimple under it." "But, or the time you broke your arm and had trouble dressing, showering, and going to the toilet?" Looking over to Tom, I pretended to pay attention and snapped in a low tone, "It's only a piece of fabric, but it's annoying the heck out of me. Can you please?" I felt fingers on my bottom, and then sweet relief. My panties were adjusted. Only what was strange was when my friend patted my ass after it. "Still," I said, "thank you." Then I glanced back to Brooke, who had wide eyes. I added, "See? It wasn't that hard." "Regan," Brooke bit out. However, Tom then boomed through the room. "And here he is. Please welcome Carter Anthony." Cheers and claps erupted. I shifted my gaze to the far side and behind the curtain, only Carter didn't step out. My body tensed as I felt a presence step up beside me.
"Anytime you need help, I'll be there," Carter's deep voice said out the corner of his mouth while he waved to the audience.
Then, as he walked toward Tom, he glanced back and winked. I felt the need to vomit, pee, poop, scream, and cry all at the same time. He couldn't have been the one who'd pulled my panties out of my ass. Nope, it wasn't him.
Regan?
No, I hissed through my heavy breathing as I tried to calm myself. It was you, I stated in my do-not-screw-with-me tone.
Oh, got it. You're playing dumb.
Right. Yep. It was totally me who had my hand on your ass adjusting your panties and then patted your rump. She scoffed. I also whispered that my helping hand was willing to do it again and then winked at you. She quickly looked away.
Huh. Guess my death stare does work sometimes.
God, how long had he been standing behind the curtain? Shit, shit, shit. I couldn't think about it, or about what he heard. Did he hear me talk about Eleanor? Had I said her name?
She was currently sending him sultry, come screw me eyes, while he was on stage talking about how awesome his life was. Actually, I couldn't hear what he was saying because my ears were ringing while my blood pumped frantically through my body because I was having a breakdown.
Regan!
Brooke barked lowly. My body jolted.
What?
They're calling you. I froze.
They were?
Glancing at the microphone, I saw Tom glaring at me while he waved me over. Carter stood beside him smirking. At least Jerry Understock, a top sports student, was smiling. Leaning in a little toward Tom, I whisper yelled,
What?
I rose my brows at Tom. He sighed and thumped his forehead.
The trophy in your arms is for Jerry, Brooke supplied.
Oh, right. She laughed.
Get it over there before Tom strangles you.
Regan! Tom hurled my name at me as if he were praying it would catch me on fire. I snorted to Brooke.
He's thought it many times, but he would never do it. He loves me too much.
I started toward the microphone. In fact, I was sure Tom thought of me as his adopted kid. Stopping in front of my adopted dad, who I just claimed, something I would tell him later when he tried to kill me, I smiled. He covered the microphone and clipped.
I'm going to staple information about assemblies to your forehead. Then maybe you'll remember what's going on.
Okay, I was his annoying adopted child.
I'm usually down there, I gestured with my head. Bad move on your part to have me up here. I get bored easily.
The only way I didn't get bored was when I read or watched movies and TV shows. I'd even taken up walking on those random days nothing else satisfied me. Brooke had checked my temperature when I told her that. However, after the first few times, I realized I enjoyed it. Jerry snorted out a laugh until Tom scowled at him. Then he quickly shut up. And Carter, the sexy mountain of a man Carter, stood off to the side smirking once more. I narrowed my gaze his way. His smirk changed into a shit-eating wide grin. Did I have something on my face? God, his eyes were mesmerizing. I suddenly felt an urge to paint or draw them. Although I still hadn't passed the stick figure pictures, so I knew I'd totally suck at it. While I could explain the difference between a simile and a metaphor, my artistic credentials sucked.
Regan passed the trophy over to Carter, Tom snapped.
Shaking my head to clear my mind from stick figures, I then nodded. Right, of course. I nodded again like an idiot and stepped up to Carter, practically throwing the heavy trophy at him. I did it all without meeting his hypnotizing gaze.
Regan,
Carter called in his sensual voice. God damn it all to hell. The man was sex on legs. He knew it. Heck, everyone knew it. And I didn't want to fall into his trap. The one where he'd undoubtedly captivate me, then, bam, he'd friend-zone me so fast I wouldn't know what hit me. It was not happening. So, ignoring his call, I tapped Jerry on the arm and said, Congrats on your, award, trophy thingy, Jerry. Top-notch, young boy. Brilliant job. Shit. I needed to get out of there. I patted Jerry's arm once again and then made my getaway back to Brooke. Facing the audience while they listened to Tom and then Carter talk again, I whispered out the corner of my mouth, Did I look like a total idiot that whole time?
Sure did.
Thanks. I thought I had. Can you please bury me this afternoon?
Can do. I'll even bring wine and say something nice after you're in the ground.
You're sweet.
It's what best friends are for.
Chapter 2. Regan. Of course, things couldn't get better for me. Leaning my butt against my desk while discussing my freshman class's assignment, I then cringed when I heard Wesley blow his nose for the millionth time. He sounded like a damn trumpet. What made matters worse, if him bringing his germs to school wasn't enough, was when he pulled the tissue back and then studied his mucus. Everyone knew how gross Wesley was. He didn't hide it, and more power to him for being who he wanted to be. Just not when it churned my stomach. Slamming my copy of To Kill a Mockingbird down, I then pointed to Wesley. If you look at your snot one more time, I may just vomit all over you. Students started chuckling. They were used to my outbursts. Wesley, the little shit, lifted the tissue up with a cheeky grin on his pimply face. Don't do it, I warned, straightening.
Miss,
someone called. I was too busy holding my glare on Wesley to answer. He slowly parted the folded tissue. I swear, my bile is rising and it's coming for you, kid.
Miss!
Was snapped a bit harsher. It was Jennifer, a grade A student who sat in the front row closest to the door. Closing my eyes, I dropped my head and sighed. Someone's opened the door, right?
Yes,
she giggled. God, please do not let it be Tom. He was already upset with me enough. If he caught me threatening to vomit on a student, he'd be more than pissed.
Is it the principal?
I asked, lifting my head and opening my eyes. Still, I didn't glance at the doorway until I knew if I had to make a run for it or not.
No,
Jennifer said in a swoony voice. Finally smiling, I relaxed my stance and faced the door. Then froze, but not before my smile dropped.
Shit. Double shit.
It was Carter Anthony. He was leaning against the doorframe with yet another smirk on his face. I think I'd rather have Tom there instead.
Can I help you?
Had he stumbled into the wrong room? Had he taken too many hits on the head and was lost? Get out, get out, get out. And suddenly I felt like yelling, Get off my train! Like the spirit in the movie Ghost. I clamped my mouth closed in case I did. My students would know what movie I was referencing since I made them watch it, under the guise of its relevance to understanding one of our previous topics of crafting ghost stories, but I wasn't sure Carter would know. He didn't seem like the movie-watching type. What was he doing in my classroom? He straightened and stepped further in. His lips twitched when I widened my eyes at his approach.
You may have missed the extra information the principal gave this morning. I've been going to selected classrooms to visit to see if anyone has any questions for me.
I caught sight of Wesley opening his mouth. When I shot him a murderous glare, he snapped his lips shut. Reminder to self, next time Wesley makes you want to vomit, pull out the deadly glare.
Nope, I shook my head. We're good in here.
Did that sound rude?
Thank you, though, I added quickly.
Do not blush.
He chuckled, and I wanted to throw something at his head, because his damn chuckle did things to my stomach. Nice things. Never. I would never fall for his charms, his good looks, or how he's grown into his tall frame and huge body nicely. Even his sparkling eyes and sweet lips. I was a grown woman. I had control of myself.
Then, if no one has any questions, do you mind if I stay for a while? I'd like to watch. I've never heard of a lesson from a teacher where they threatened vomiting before.
Damn. He'd heard that.
Laughing nervously, I shook my head.
Did I say vomit? I meant...
I had nothing. Why was my brain failing me now? Throwing my hands on my hips, I glared at Carter.
Anyway, we were in the middle of something, and I'd really prefer it if my class isn't interrupted.
But, miss, you interrupted class just the other day when your mum called, Bradley yelled.
My eyes widened. Now isn't the time for lies, Bradley.
But, Bradley!
My little defiant minions laughed. Carter chuckled. Clearing my throat, I mentioned,
I'm sure Mr. Rogers, the phys ed teacher, would love to have you visit his class.
I have a feeling you're trying to get rid of me.
Carter grinned, and his head tilted to the side.
Do I know you from somewhere?
No, I snorted, scoffed, and then burped. Excuse me. I laughed. And then there's also the FACS class. Something tasty will be cooking right about now. You should go for a taste.
Eleanor would also love it.
He shook his head.
Thanks for the suggestion, but I'll be fine here.
Dang it all. Fine, I bit out through clenched teeth. Ignoring him, though I sensed his movement to behind my desk to sit in my seat, I turned my attention back to the class. Wesley raised his hand.
Yes, Wesley.
I'd like to ask Mr. Anthony what it's like being famous.
Guess my death glare wore off on the shithead. Clenching my jaw, I breathed deeply through my nose.
Does anyone else have questions they'd like to ask Mr. Anthony?
Half my students raised their hands. The other half were just staring at Carter like he was their favourite chew toy. Rubbing an eye, since it started to twitch, I shifted to the side of my desk and glanced at Carter.
Well, I said.
Oh, you want me to answer them?
Yes, I clipped.
But I thought you didn't like...
Please just answer them, I snapped. Laughing, he stood and looked at Wesley.
Honestly, being famous can be a pain sometimes. No matter where I go, I have to watch what I say or do because it could end up in the media.
But you get to bang all the chicks you want, Bradley called out.
One hand went to cover my chest. I didn't want to flash my bra. As the other shot out and up.
Bradley, the only banging we'll talk about in this class is me banging your head on your desk.
Again, Carter chuckled.
Shit.
And my students laughed. I winced, knowing I could be in serious doo-doo if he told anyone how sarcasm and regular threats were part of my teaching practice. But I lived dangerously. Plus, the class knew I was all talk. I would never lay a finger on them. That didn't mean I couldn't joke around. It made the day fun. More importantly, it strengthened our classroom relationship.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?